Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. So like many of you, I have trouble sleeping. I have insomnia. No matter what I tried, it wouldn't work until I met Mike Lindell and I got my very own MyPillow. It has changed my life. What makes MyPillow so different is MyPillow's patented adjustable fill. In other words, you can adjust the patented fill to your exact individual needs so you get the support you need and want to help you get to sleep faster and stay asleep longer. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-919-6090. Remember, use the promo code Hannity. When you do, Mike Lindell will give you his best offer ever. Buy one pillow and get another one absolutely free. MyPillow, made in the USA, 10-year unconditional warranty, and it has a 60-day no-questions-asked money-back guarantee. You have nothing to lose. So it's time for you to start getting the quality of sleep that you've been wanting and we need. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity. Take advantage of Mike's special 2-for-1 offer. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. All right, glad you're with us. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. A lot of news, and it's all over the place. Charlie Rose now has been dropped from CBS, PBS, and Bloomberg as a result of the allegations against him. And, wow, I did you see what these women are? Who swims naked or takes a shower and walks around naked in front of strangers? It just is so bizarre, the behavior of some of these people. It's unbelievable. Anyway, we'll get to all of that. My printer is broken again. Every day it is broken. Can we get a new printer? I think it's time as we move forward. I want to get into the big stories of John Solomon and Sarah Carter, the FBI informant now that he's had his NDA taken away and his muzzle is off, if you will. I just pulled this one out. This one was stuck in there. As usual, and you don't know until you actually need the papers that they weren't printing the last 20 minutes, and you spend 20 minutes of your time, and then you look down. Ah, there they are, the busted papers in the back. Anyway, so they have a new report that that shows a Russian effort to get the corrupt Uranium-1 deal. We'll hit that in the course of the program today. We got now another Al Franken accuser on top of the first two accusers. And liberals having a hard time dealing with all of that. Charlie Rose was like the lion of liberal media. I mean, he was it. Charlie Rose was the guy, his PBS show. I'd been on the show with Charlie Rose a time or two. Left is all get out, left wing. He was one of these guys that would show up at every event in New York City in his black tie. What are you doing down there? You're trying to fix the printer. You fixed it. No, it's not fixed. It's fixed temporarily until I print something else, then it's going to be broken again. It's not operator error. I hit print, and it prints. It's supposed
to print.
Happy
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, why are you attacking me on my first day back? I mean, my last day before I leave. I'm so unbelievable.
Are you okay in there?
It's annoying when I can't get my prep that I thought was sitting on my printer.
Mind.
I'm not going out of my mind. This is not going out of my mind. This is me mildly being annoyed. And, well, it's happened now all week.
Do you want me to tell you what it is?
What I would like to have happen
is like?
I would like somebody
you
in
want
this,
me to tell you what it is?
I would like somebody in this audience to take a sledgehammer or a hammer. Or I really,
and give thanks to the printer?
No, I'd like to bust this printer up and get another printer that actually works. This
the
has
printer
happened
works,
all week.
And I will tell you why.
So if you're going to tell me it's my fault.
It is.
Because I do everything I always do, which is
no.
File, click, print.
Mm-hmm. You're selecting the legal size, and there's no legal size tray in there, so you're confusing the printer.
I am not confusing the printer. It should be configured to accept what I always send.
I will be configuring it later on your computer, so you no longer have the option to select the wrong size.
I've never selected a side. Usually have to select a side.
You are.
Okay. I didn't change.
I'm going to come in and watch you on commercial break.
All I do is hit print. That's it. I hit print. And when I hit print, I want the paper to come out.
It's going to come out now.
And now 4 days in a row, because I'm working up until the last second of the show, and I'm printing out notes, and I'm printing out articles, and nobody wants to hear any of this. All right, let me move on, and let me get focused here. So anyway, so we have all these incidents. So Charlie Rose, the big lion of the liberal left wing, Look, I'm not even going to get into it because it gets so creepy. But you got eight women accusing him of all this inappropriate sexual behavior, including unwanted sexual advances and, you know, even worse than that. I mean, lewd phone calls. Why would anybody ever get naked? What are you two looking at that's making you laugh in there?
Nothing.
What are you looking at?
Nothing.
Stop lying. Come on, what?
We were looking at something from our friends Diamond and Silk, which we'll show you on the commercial break.
Okay. So eight of these, who would walk around naked in front of a stranger? Who would do that? That's something that I have a hard time understanding. I know it's a very different world. I understand it and I get it, but maybe I don't understand. I guess I don't even walk around naked in my own house, ever. Who would ever do that? In my own bathroom, I'm quick to, all right, I'm out of the shower. Quick, get dressed, you know, as fast as you possibly can. Too much information there?
TMI.
That's the thing that most people do. You get in the shower, you get out of the shower, you dry off, you put your clothes on. That's what I do. I don't walk around with no towel either. What is that? I don't even walk around with a towel. I don't even have a bathrobe. You're not on the air as you're sitting there talking to yourself. Nothing apparently in the studio is working today. Because you're sitting there talking, I can't hear you either. Both of your mics aren't on. Then you got Glenn Thrush over at the New York Times. He's in trouble. And I went through this long, long diatribe last night that I think is dead on accurate here. The next woman, as it relates to Franken, is when he was a senator at the state fair in Minnesota. And this woman claims that Franken grabbed her backside while the two were posing for a picture. And the woman also posted the picture on Facebook and later responded to a comment about it by writing, quote, Al Franken totally molested me, creeper. That's the first 2 years of his first term as U.S. senator. Franken says, well, I took pictures with a lot of different people, thousands of pictures. I don't remember this specific incident. Well, we already know he's a groper because we got the picture of him groping Leanne Tweeden while she was asleep. You know, Greg Jarrett actually said that is a crime, what Franken did to Leanne Tweeden. That would be a crime. He's a liberal. Of course, nothing's going to happen. Nothing ever happens to liberals that break the law. And then, you know, the thing that nobody really paid a lot of attention to, that I paid a lot of attention to, is about Franken in particular. You know, this guy's said a lot of strange and weird things over the year that nobody seems to want to bring up in the liberal media. And I understand comics. I understand comics cross lines. But there's got to be a line you don't cross. Like, I don't really have a problem with Chris Rock, you know, talking, going hard at, in a humorous way, racial issues at all. I think Chris Rock is really funny. I like the energy he brings to the stage. He's very funny. I think it's fine, and I think he makes a lot of good points as he's doing his comedy. I don't have a problem with Jim Norton, who comes on this program, and the acts that I have seen him do on HBO, which are way over the top. You're not going to watch that unless you want to get grossed out and laugh at the most, like, you know, the basic things in humankind. But some of it is funny. Still like Larry the Cable Guy. He's Get Her Done. Sent me a video recently that made me die. Anyway, but Al Franken, when he was working for Saturday Night Live, once suggested that they do a skit about drugging and raping Leslie Stahl, who works at 60 Minutes. And he says, here's how it'll work. I'll give pills to Leslie Stahl. And when Leslie Stahl's passed out, I can take her to the closet and rape her. Or that's why you never see Leslie Stahl until February. And when she passes out, I put her in various positions and take pictures of her. You know what's so creepy about what he said? And then in light of the picture of Leanne Tweeden sleeping and he's posing with the pictures, it just shows a kind of consistently sick mind. You know, he did something for Playboy called Pornorama, and that's where you can't even talk about what it was in there. And when he was 12 years old, he said, the internet's terrific. It's a learning tool. My 12-year-old son, you know, he used it for a sixth-grade report on bestiality. And then he apologized, you know, to the people of Minnesota for saying all these things, but he writes in his latest book to say, I'm sorry, I wasn't sorry. I just said it because I liked my career, and I wanted to get votes. And that's pretty revealing about him. I wonder if the people of Minnesota will remember this at the time. You know, some people have been saying to me, Hannity, why don't you go out there and And why don't you lead the way for Franken to get kicked? That's for the people of Minnesota to decide. He is Senator Groper. If you want to elect a Groper as your senator, go ahead. I wouldn't vote for him, but I knew he was nuts before he ever got there. And, you know, the thing is all these years now have gone by, and there's been so many credible allegations. Problem for the Democrats in this, and it is political in this sense, is for 30 years, the Democrats have defended the indefensible, and they have made the most obscene arguments about the Clintons. And there's been a systematic effort to slander every woman, every single woman that dared tell the truth about Bill Clinton, and even up through and including the 2016 election. Anyway, we got some other news we're going to get to here today. This is an interesting poll out today that a landslide majority of voters want a special prosecutor for Hillary. You know, for the longest time, I feel on this show and on Hannity on Fox that I've been the only person that has been pointing out real crimes that have been committed in a variety of ways. Real crimes on the email server scandal. The fact that they were mishandled to begin with is a felony. The fact that subpoenaed emails were destroyed is a felony. That also would be obstruction of justice. Top secret emails were also, we know because she put it on the secret server, we know that there were foreign intelligence agencies that got a hold of this information to put our national security at risk. Anyway, the latest Harvard Caps Harris survey found that 61% of Americans say Clinton and the DNC, who jointly paid for the Russian dossier after for this Russian lies, which the very thing Democrats were all angry about, that it should be investigated by a special counsel for their involvement. In addition, 65% of voters say there should be an investigation into the $145 million that the Clinton Foundation got from the people involved in the Uranium One deal. That's the Canadian firm that was sold to Russian investors. We have so much new information on that. I've yet to mention that John Conyers, the congressman from Michigan, he now has an allegation and apparently a payment that went out in his case. And anyway, he issued a strange denial in response to BuzzFeed's report, citing numerous sources who claimed he had harassed women who worked for him, including ordering several female employees to arrange for outside women to be delivered to him. He's not saying he didn't do it. What he is saying is he knows nothing about it. According to the Associated Press, Conyers, the longest serving current member of the House, said he did not know anything about the claims against him. I guess that's one way out of it. It's interesting to watch this dance of the Democrats. Remember, Kirsten Gillibrand, the senator from New York, said that, yeah, Bill Clinton should have been ousted after the incident with Monica Lewinsky. She was asked directly whether Franken should step down, and she didn't answer, but she said she was really disturbed and very personally disappointed. I think the appropriate thing right now is to have an ethics investigation. That buys them time. That's why they want the investigation. Well, are we going to come out with a different conclusion about what he did to Leanne Tweeden? Because the evidence there, are you going to claim that must be photoshopped? Because the evidence is in. Now, then it brings up questions about he said, she said, and everything else that's going on. Some of this stuff is just downright creepy. Hey, you know how I love hearing great American success stories and sharing them all with you. Well, our favorite T-shirt, underwear, sock company, Tommy John, well, that's one of them. Now, Tom Patterson grew up in a small town in South Dakota. After college, he had a successful career. He was selling medical devices on the West Coast. But he quickly became fed up with the way his undershirt kept coming untucked. So despite having zero background in men's fashion whatsoever, Tom sketched up some designs for smarter undergarments. Now, starting out of his apartment and growing Tommy John to the globally recognized company it is today, well, he achieved, Tom did, the American dream. Now, of course, they're super soft, they're undershirts. Guess what? They never come untucked. Plus, all of Tommy John underwear is backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, guarantee, or it's free. Go to TommyJohn.com/Hannity for 20% off your first order. TommyJohn.com/Hannity. You get 20% off your first order. TommyJohn.com/Hannity, 20% off. That's TommyJohn.com/Hannity. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show. There is a Report out today, and I'll get to that in the next half hour, that Robert Mueller may have given up on proving Trump-Russia collusion. That's getting pretty interesting, although I'm sure nobody in the mainstream media that's been pushing their lies for over a year would ever even begin to cover that. That was an Investor's Business Daily. On a political side, we've got Mitch McConnell now is, according to the Daily Caller, viewing the Alabama Senate race as a lose-lose situation for Republicans, and he has essentially ready to forfeit the election. I think the people of Alabama will decide, not Senator Mitch McConnell. But anyway, he is apparently abandoned plans for a write-in campaign that would give Republican voters another option besides Roy Moore. And he also no longer is working to persuade the governor to postpone the special election. And even if Moore wins, McConnell still intends to remove him. Okay, that's interesting for the people of Alabama to hear, which means that unless the Senate votes on tax reform before December the 12th, that would be a modern-day miracle if they get anything done. The bill's passage will depend on a one-vote Republican Senate majority, and if the tax reform bill fails, the tax cuts fail, the GOP's control of Congress would then almost certainly vanish after the 2018 midterms, handing House Democrats, they'd have the power then to do what they've always wanted to do from day one, impeach the president. On what grounds? There are none, but they want to do it if they can. What have I been saying from the beginning? I have said there are five forces I've been telling you all year against this president. The deep state is against the president. And Democrats, obviously, against the president. There's nothing he will do that they'll support. And the same thing with Republicans. You got establishment Republicans hate this president. Even if he advocates the single issues that Ronald Reagan himself supports, they're not going to support him. And the same with Never Trumpers. And then, of course, the media doing their job every day. Anyway, the Daily Caller reports a writing campaign supported by McConnell in the Alabama Senate race is not viable anymore, according to a source close to the majority leader's political operation. And McConnell and other establishment Republicans, like the National Republican Senatorial Committee and their chairman, Cory Gardner, have called on Republican Senate nominee Roy Moore to drop out of the race. Well, just as we were coming on the air, there was a press conference saying he's not getting out of that race. Anyway, the source talking to the Daily Caller said that there are currently only two options for McConnell. In terms of seeing this transpire, Moore wins and the Senate expels him, or Democrat Doug Jones wins. And recent polling out has actually put Jones ahead of Moore. Although there was one poll that came out, I think, yesterday that had Moore ahead by a little bit. So I'll have to see what happens there. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We got a lot of new information that we're going to talk about as it relates to Uranium One and the Fusion GPS dossier. We have Donna Brazile is going to stop by today and a lot more. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. 800-941-SEAN is our number. Later in the program, we'll have a little Dr. Hannity action. I mean, you're going to go home and you're going to be there for Thanksgiving and you're going to be sitting across from some crazy liberal relative. Maybe it's a brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, somebody. And I urge all of you to bring your Make America Great hats with you and wear them at Thanksgiving dinner, or your Make America Great placards, or I Love Trump t-shirts, just to make them bubble and fizz like Alka-Seltzer in a glass of water and freak out. And then you can have some good discussions. Now, here's how I recommend you do this, and we'll get into this later in the show. The main thing is have a sense of humor about it. You got to understand they lost, you didn't. They never thought they would lose. Every time Donald Trump tweets one single itsy-bitsy thing, they freak out. They think this is the end times Donald Trump is president. And you could just kindly, you know, very gently point out to them things like, well, I'm very happy about the million jobs that have been created since he's president and the lowest number of people on food stamps in, 7 years, the best labor participation rate we've had in 17 years, best home ownership, home building starts in 30 years. And, you know, just have a few little statistics at your ready. And then you can turn to them always and go on offense. Do you really think Barack Obama was a good president? What did he do? And just sit there and be ready to correct their lies, because that's what they're going to have. Barbara is in Charleston, South Carolina. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. It's my Friday. What's going on, Barbara? How are you?
Hi, Sean. I'm great. My husband and Larry and I really love your show. I wanted to tell you that we saw Let There Be Light on Sunday, and we were blown away. It was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, it's still in theaters this weekend for the holiday weekend, and I'm so glad that so many people liked it, the feedback. You know, I was told last night, I got to check the number, but I think it's the I think we've had three weekends now, and it's the 30th most successful faith-based movie in history. You know, like Passion of the Christ is number one. Now, remember, we didn't have a studio. We were independent. We did this on our own, and so that's a pretty big accomplishment. Thanks to all of you. And
well, everyone should see it. It's wonderful. They really should.
Yeah, I'm so glad. And did you cry? Did a lot of people in the theater cry?
Oh, gosh. Oh, of course. I laughed and cried. It was really wonderful.
Well, I promised an emotional roller coaster, so I'm glad it worked out that way. Although, you know.
Listen, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Who has the list of all of the names of the people that we have spent up to, I think now, $17 million covering their butt from these sexual harassment?
Yeah, that's those are taxpayer dollars for settlements. Yeah, that's what we've paid.
Well, who's got the list?
They haven't released it yet, but we're going to get it. I mean, it's going to come out.
Well, I know if anybody can get it, you can, Sean, and we're waiting for it. We truly are.
Yeah, I think we have a right to see it, and if they want to, you know, pay out, then let them pay out of their own pockets. That's their business, right?
Exactly.
Why do we have to pay?
We should all be reimbursed.
100%, every penny. I agree. All right, thank you. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. Let's add a Vinny is in Long Island, the all-new AM 710 WOR, the talk of New York, New Jersey, Long Island. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, Sean, what's going on? Hey, just a quick question. I saw this article about Loretta Lynch the other day, and she wants her testimony locked up forever, which I thought was ridiculous. I mean, even the Kennedy assassination wasn't locked up forever. But, I mean, why is it so hard to prosecute these people, Sean?
Well, remember Lois Lerner. She wants the same thing for her. I mean, we know now that the Tea Party groups were targeted specifically.
Right.
And so here we are years later. It's 2017. This happened in 2010. And they purposely locked up these organizations and prevented them from growing into what they wanted to be. And that all helped Barack Obama in his run for a second term. And now all of a sudden we get an apology. A lot of good that is.
I just don't understand. You have the House, you have the Senate, the executive branch, and now the judicial branch. And you can't Jeff Sessions, and you can't prosecute or at least investigate any of these people.
It doesn't
make sense to me.
Listen, I think the most corrupt person who's now in the most trouble is Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is in a whole heap of trouble. If my sources are correct and what I know is coming out in the days and weeks ahead between now and the new year, Hillary Clinton is in a lot of trouble. What this FBI informant is going to tell us is mind-numbing. And how everything has to now come out. There's not going to be any avoidance of this. Because he was inside of Putin's network, the network that was bribing, the network involved in extortion and money laundering and kickbacks and racketeering. And he was telling the FBI, and that means Holder's Justice Department and Mueller's FBI, everything that Putin was trying to accomplish as it relates to getting, access to America's uranium. And I also can pretty well assure you that the Russians were laughing the whole time at how stupid that administration was in terms of letting them do all of this. Anyway, good call. Appreciate it. Let's say hi to George is in Erie, PA. What's up, George? How are you, sir?
How you doing, Sean?
I'm good, my friend. What's happening?
Hey, well, I'm confused. I consider myself a relatively smart individual, but I'm not understanding the strategy of the president when you constantly attack votes you need. And I'm referring to Jeff Flake, Cloker. I mean, you get more flies with honey. What's his strategy? Because he needs these guys' votes. And if he doesn't change, in my opinion, they're going to send a little finger in the way, and we're all in trouble. So why is he doing what he does? Can you explain it?
Let me ask you this question, because you can reverse what you're saying here. So basically, you're saying that guys like Jeff Flake and Bob Corker, and I assume you're probably including McCain in this group, that they would rather stick it to Trump than do what's right for the American people and vote for the very things they've advocated for their entire political professional careers.
Absolutely. We watched John McCain, an American hero, by all stretches, stand on the Senate floor and act like Caesar with a thumb. I mean, your common sense is we need the votes. Trump is just throwing gasoline on a fire. I don't get it, because these men control his fate, whether he likes it or not. And that's reality, and that's the part I have with Trump. I don't know if he truly understands the consequences of his action.
You know,
he's overseas, he's president. He comes back here, he doesn't act like majority of us think he should.
You know, I think there's some truth. Listen, I think one of the things that is driving people crazy about this president is everybody has their image, how especially establishment Republicans, they want their president to act the way they want them to act. That's not going to happen with Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not going to just all of a sudden wake up in the morning and he's going to evolve into a cookie cutter president. That's not what the American people voted for. The American people voted for somebody that is bold, outspoken, iconoclastic, a little brash at times, and somebody that throws fire and fights hard. That's what they voted for. Now, I know it's kind of in fashion. You know, they don't even notice after a while, but these guys go to Washington saying pretty much the same type of things Trump was saying, and something happens to these guys, and they change, and they like being called senator, and they like being called congressman, and they like being called governor, and they change, and then they give up the fight. You know, every Republican had voted repeal, replace Obamacare. And then even in 2015, seven Republicans in the Senate voted just to repeal it. But when it actually meant something, they were never going to do it. And then about 100 House Republicans, same thing. They had no intention. Those 60 show votes they gave us over the Obama years were just lies. And, you know, they're being exposed for who they are. Now, I look and I go down the list of Trump's policies. Cutting taxes across the board is what he said he wants to do. That's what Reagan did. Cutting the corporate tax, that's Reaganomics. That's supply side. That's conservative economic policy. Controlling our nation's borders. Well, you can take it right out of Ronald Reagan. You can't control your borders. You don't control your destiny in your country. Ronald Reagan said that. Originalists on the Supreme Court. You know, even on issues on trade, I think there can be an argument made that in some areas there's a similarity, but trade maybe being the one issue. But the president showed no side of wanting to be a protectionist. He wants free trade, but fair trade. So I'm asking myself, well, what is it that they hate so much about this president? He wants education to go back to the states. He wants to repeal and replace Obamacare. He wants an economy that's flourishing for the forgotten men and women. I said to somebody recently in an interview, the Republican Party, you know, I didn't leave them. They left me. I haven't changed in the 30 years I've been in radio. I mean, what Trump is representing, he is as close to fighting for Reagan conservatism. Put aside these words, nationalism, populism. You know, Steve Bannon is more of a nationalist populist, which I don't have a problem with, except Steve and I will argue about the top marginal rates. He wants them at 45%. I argue to him that's not what Reagan did, that created 21 million new jobs, doubled revenues to the government, and gave us the longest period of peacetime economic growth. Republicans, their economic plan that they passed in the House is great, except for they don't have the stomach to fight against tax cuts, or what the Democrats will label as tax cuts for the rich. Anyway, I hope that answers your question. But, look, he's going to be who he is. I think you vote on the policy, and I think it speaks more that I think Trump is the one that didn't sell out. I think a lot of these guys did. And I think a lot of these guys, you know, acting so high and falutin and, you know, they're part of an all-boys club over there, and they just think there's one way to act and only one way to act. But You know, we're also learning that they don't act so well behind the scenes either. I think Trump is transparent about it. You know, I've watched the media's obsession. Well, Donald Trump and the Access Hollywood tape. And then they bring up, well, Donald Trump had a divorce. Well, Donald Trump, and I'm like, and he may have cheated on his wife. And I'm like, okay, everybody knew about all of this before the election. It was litigated and the American people decided. I don't think anybody thought they were electing a saint. But I think they did think they were electing a fighter. And he continues to fight. And the expectation that he was going to win and then become like all of them isn't going to happen. And I'm glad it's not going to happen. I don't want, we have enough weak people, spineless people, cowards in Washington. I'd like to see somebody, you know, one of the things that has impressed me the most about his presidency is his desire and his willingness to fight to keep the promises he made during the campaign. I like the fact that his speeches now are the same as his speeches then. All right, back to our busy telephones. Stephen is in Wichita, Kansas, KNSS. By the way, you don't go to Dr. Josh Umbra's group, do you? Atlas MD?
Absolutely.
You
do? Absolutely.
Did you go there because of me, because you heard it on the show, or did you know on your own?
I know on my own, but I heard it on your show as well, and that's the way medicine should go.
So on a scale of 1 to 100, 100 being most satisfied beyond any expectation, where do you put Atlas MD on that list?
100.
Yeah, and
100.
We could duplicate that around the country, but of course, stupid Republicans are too dumb to think about that new paradigm that would work. All right, we got a minute. What's on your mind?
Right. I would just wanted to say thank you so much, Sean, because you, Rush, Sarah Carter, and John Solomon have been the only ones continuing to pound for the truth. Trump has absolutely been the most transparent president ever. His plan and his statements have never wavered from when he came down the escalator. And you're the only one telling the truth. So I'm greatly looking forward to seeing the information from the FBI informant that ties this all together in a nice little bow for Christmas.
Look, one other thing. I'm not going to stop doing what I do. I mean, there's a lot of people that would love to shut this show down and get me fired and have this voice go. I'm not changing either. I know who I am, I know what I believe, and I know what I want to fight for. And I think America is worth fighting for to save our country, to help those people that have been left behind economically, to have a secure and safe country, to have the willingness to confront evil in our time. You know, what I vouch for, what I believe is not that complicated, and it could all be accomplished. Republicans could get a lot of this done tomorrow if they just wake up and stop going on vacation. All right, remember Donna Brazile? Her book is now a New York Times bestseller, and it's called Hacks, the inside story of the break-ins, breakdowns that put Donald Trump in the White House. The most interesting part of this, facet of this, I think, is her allegation that Hillary Clinton literally rigged the primary election, although Democrats, I feel, have kind of pushed her back off a little bit. We'll ask her about it. Dr. Hannity's in the house tonight. What are you going to do when you sit down for Thanksgiving dinner with your crazy liberal relatives? I have advice to give out. Ami Horowitz has his latest and greatest, perhaps, tape, holding an American flag and an ISIS flag and getting people to react. Straight ahead.
Look, when people have heard this, they think that it means that the primary and the election was rigged and that it certainly wasn't fair to Bernie Sanders. What's your response?
Well, Allison, first of all, thanks for the opportunity to talk about all this. And I just want to start by saying, you know, as a campaign, we were incredibly grateful to Donna Brazile for stepping up and taking the reins at the DNC during a very difficult time. And all of us, you know, who know Donna, consider her a colleague and a friend. Mm-hmm. You know, the allegation she's making there simply isn't true. And actually, the arrangement in question has been released. It's out in the public. Everybody can see it. And the same thing was offered to both campaigns. You know, the DNC was broke. They couldn't meet payroll. They were going to have to stop transferring money to state parties for their grassroots organizing efforts. It was a very bad situation. And both the Sanders campaign and the Clinton campaign signed agreements with the DNC. The difference was Hillary Clinton actually raised money into that. And both campaigns were told, if you raise money in, you'll have some say over how it's spent to prepare for the general election.
Right,
and
but
things
you got,
at the DNC
clear,
were really bad. We had to put some guardrails in place.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Let's listen to Donna Brazile one more time.
Nobody cares
this week.
Nobody cares about what Donna Brazile has said in a book.
You don't think anybody cares about her story?
Nobody cares. You know what they care about? They care about beating Donald Trump tomorrow. They care about beating Ed Gillespie.
The DNC had a bad couple of weeks. Donna Brazile wrote a book. I know she's a longtime colleague of yours. And she sort of, in her book, made this comment that your campaign, through an agreement, had too much influence to maybe at the detriment of the Sanders campaign. She sort of walked back those comments now.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to that?
I didn't know what she was referring to, because as has now come out, that just wasn't the case. But the current DNC leadership really invested heavily in Virginia and New Jersey and other places. And I called the current chairman, Tom Perez, to congratulate him, because he didn't get knocked off course. He didn't get overwhelmed by other narratives and stories coming at him. He said, okay, our job is to knock on doors, make phone calls, and turn out voters. And you know what? They did. And that's part of the reason we won.
All right, that was in part reaction to the New York Times bestselling book Hacks, the inside story of break-ins, breakdowns that put Donald Trump in the White House. Former DNC chair Donna Brazile is with us. Well, you pissed off a lot of people with this book.
You think it's the first time I've made people upset by telling my story? You know, I'm excited that so many people are reading the book for themselves to learn the lessons of 2016. I've worked in the party my entire life, fighting for justice, equality, diversity, fairness. And you may not know this, but I took the party chair job for no pay. The Democratic Party was in a mess when I took over. And when you have an open wound, the only way to heal it is to talk about what happened and to fix it. And that's why I wrote the book. If you ignore a wound, it will fest into something worse. I'm trying to fix it and get us in a place where we can become a strong party again that will be prepared to win in 2018.
God help us. I mean, that would be the worst thing that could ever happen. But
Come on. Don't you like a little diversity? Too much Republicans are not much fun. Look what's going on Capitol Hill.
Listen, I'm more critical of Republicans, Donna, than I am of Democrats. They're a bunch of spineless, gutless, visionless cowards, and they're a shadow of the party that was Ronald Reagan's at one point. Let me, this whole issue, I want you to go through. You made a promise to Bernie Sanders. And
I did.
Donald Trump, people like him and people like myself, just looking at how the superdelegate system was all set up. You know, Donald Trump said it was rigged in Hillary's favor. I said it. I believed it. And you confirmed it. And I want you to walk through the process by which you made a promise to Bernie Sanders that you were going to investigate this, and you walk us through the day that you made that phone call in September before the election, and you said, yeah, it was.
Well, Sean, Mr. Trump may not know this, but when I became Al Gore's campaign manager back in 2000, I stepped down as the co-chair of the Rules and Bylaws Committee. When you're in a position of leadership within the party and you take a position to support one candidate over another, the best thing is to step aside, which I did. And in 2016, it's true, and Hillary Clinton is absolutely right. The DNC was in a debt in large part because we heavily invested in down-ballot races during the midterm of 2014, plus the debt from the Obama campaign, which he did help to pay back. But the primary was not rigged. What I said in the book was that in exchange for bailing out the party, which was broke, the Clinton campaign would get control over certain decisions and aspects of the DNC that made it difficult, if not impossible, for me to do my job. It was unethical, but it was not rigged, and I stand by that.
But you said you actually used the word rigged.
Of course, because I promised Bernie that I would go department by department and do a forensic test to find out what happened. Look, the D.C. primary was not set by the DNC. It was set by the D.C. government working with the D.C. and Republican state parties. And so when you say the primary process was rigged, let's be clear. Hillary Clinton had more votes than Donald Trump.
No, that's not the primary process.
More votes than Bernie Sanders. She won more delegates, pledged as well as unpledged. And while the Democratic Party has a superdelegate, an unpledged system for elected officials and party activists, the Republicans have winner-take-all. Is that rigged? I think that what we're doing now and what Chairman Perez is going to do is to take a look at the process by which we ran our 2016 contest and to make changes and make recommendations and changes for 2020 and beyond.
We've known each other many, many years. We've never agreed on a whole lot politically, but honestly, I mean, we've always been cordial and friendly with each other. I know you believe what you believe. I mean, and that to me is more important than these people, these phony people that'll say anything. I can deal with the fact you're straight up. You're an honest person. We've actually, we've had a very cordial relationship. Personally, I'm very fond of you. But it sounds to me, Donna, like, you write very clearly. You called Bernie. You didn't want to make the call. You lit candles. You said prayers because you had to make the call because you knew it was rigged. To me, that was, and the way you described it is it's rigged. And when you say rigged, that means that, there was with this special arrangement with Hillary that the fix was in. That's what it is.
No, Sean. I mean, you. I don't know if you worked on presidential campaigns, but delegate selection.
I've followed him my whole adult life, 30
right.
years in radio.
Well,
23
look,
years I, at Fox.
And let me tell you, I have 11 presidential cycles, 21 in the midterms. I've been around since the age of 9 in American politics. And while I am a Democrat, I'm an American first. And I love to make sure that these races are run in such a way that everybody have a right to vote. What I saw in 2016 made me very uncomfortable. And that's why I fought to ensure the integrity of the Democratic National Committee. But what I also saw was the interference and the meddling by a foreign country that also made it difficult for me to do my job. So if we're going to put everything on the table, I got to put all of that on the table.
Let's put it all on the table. Let me read what you say about that. You say we were hacked by the Russians, and I want to talk about what this means for our democracy. Now, there's, two issues surrounding that. Number one, there's been no evidence of exact evidence, and don't tell me 17 agencies because that's just not true. But number two, now we find out that Hillary Clinton and her control of the DNC paid for Russian lies and Russian propaganda through Fusion GPS and the same attorney they funneled this money through, over $10 million. And that was to misinform the American people. That was to lie to the American people. That was to propagandize them before an election. What's the difference?
Well, two things. There's plenty of evidence that we found.
Well, tell me what it is.
The FBI notified us.
But you wait. The FBI, hang on. The FBI wouldn't, the DNC wouldn't give the FBI their computers to look at it.
The DNC hired a firm with the former number who, one of their chief operating officers was the former number three at the FBI.
Why wouldn't you give them to the FBI?
We brought in experts. The reason why we could not hand them the physical computer or the system is because it was the brain of our entire operation. Had we handed that over, Sean, we would have been out of business for sure. But what we did, we gave them the exact everything that they requested in a letter that they sent to us in June of 2016, every possible thing. And when I became chair in July, not only did I receive my briefing, but I made sure that everything we found, everything we turned over, we made sure that federal officials have it. That's on the record. I stand by.
All right. Well, the FBI, just for the record, has a different story, but you didn't answer this question. Hillary Clinton bought and paid for Russian lies, propaganda, misinformation, all in an effort to influence the American people with Russian lies before the election.
Well, first of all, that research was conducted by a big Republican donor, and when
Donna, I know,
with
Donna,
the opposition research. Well, you got to go where the facts are.
No, Donna. When the Republican, you're right. They first hired Fusion GPS, but that was long before Steele was ever involved in that project. Michael Steele. Michael Steele is the agent that got the Russian lies that he paid for.
I never authorized no law firm. I never authorized this contract. I learned about this contract just recently, and when someone said to me, "Well, when did you first learn about it?" I on November 4th, 2016, I went to the lawyer, Mr. Elias, and I said, "Is MI6 on our payroll? Need to know." He called me and said, "You don't need to know." I had no idea. Just like last year when your former colleague Megyn Kelly came after me with a 2x4 about the paid protesters, I didn't know. I didn't control the resources, Sean. That's what the
No. And I heard, and by the way, I heard you loud and clear, and that was wrong because you have a job to do, and you can't do it if literally they're controlling all the money. We got to take a break. More with Donna Brazile. Her new book, Hacks, the inside story of the break-ins, breakdowns that put Donald Trump in the White House. And as we continue, Donna Brazile is our guest. Her book is called Hacks, the inside story of break-ins and breakdowns that put Donald Trump in the White House. The bottom line is this is now an irrefutable fact, is that Hillary Clinton and her control of the DNC, I'm going to take your word for it that you didn't have nothing to do with it.
Well, I was the chair of the Democratic National Committee in April of 2016. I was an officer, and I didn't even know about the addendum to the joint fundraising agreement.
So, in other words, Hillary.
And that's why I wrote this book. I wrote this book because I want to make sure that we not just clean up. And we're doing that, and I cleaned up before I left, but also that we heal, which is underway as we speak. But most importantly, we got to make sure there's no other foreign interference or meddling in our elections again, period. No collusion, no conversation, no rubles, nothing. Sean, we got to make sure that we have
So I'm giving you very specific in the United States of America. So Fusion GPS... hiring Michael Steele, that was the Democrats that hired Steele. That was not the Republicans that had hired Fusion GPS.
You know, I don't have a copy of the contract, and the person you should...
No. But let me ask my question.
Explain the opposition
Hang on.
Research budget.
What we know...
Elias or someone from Perkins.
This is what we...
I can't speak for them, and I can't speak to what...
But
exactly
you're worried...
I'm not running away from it. I don't have any evidence.
You're really good, Donna. Hang on. No filibusters. We were hacked by the Russians, and I'm saying to you that the Democratic candidates, Hillary Clinton's campaign, $10 million through the campaign and their control of DNC finances, which I believe you had no control over, because now that we know the deal that you exposed in the book, so now you put two and two together. But they bought and paid for Russian lies and propaganda to influence the American people in an election, and what they put out was nothing but the most salacious things and misinformation. Now that, at what point are you going to say that Hillary Clinton was wrong to use Russian lies to try and influence the American people?
Well, first of all, Sean, I don't want to get into the research. What you want to get into the research, and much of that research has been proven factual. I don't want to get into the research. I want to correct a misstatement. The DNC.
Nothing has been proven true. Hooker's in a bed with Donald Trump in Moscow.
$10 million. Look, Donald Trump has not even acknowledged, let alone done anything to protect our election. I know you know, Mr. Trump. You should say you talked to Donna Brazile, and Donna, who prays for you, like I pray for
all my
presidents, clean up our election system, Mr. President. Make sure that no foreign government meddles in our election, try to hack into our voting system, and try to destroy one political party.
I'll do that. When are you going to tell Hillary Clinton that she shouldn't have paid for Russian lies about hookers at the Ritz-Carlton urinating on a bed?
See, you're reading the dossier.
That she paid for.
I didn't read the dossier.
She paid for the dossier.
I heard about it, but I haven't read it. But the DNC did not pay Perkins Coie $10 million for...
No, but they did pay. They did pay some money.
The DNC, Perkins Coie represented all of our legal activities.
All right, but Hillary Clinton paid. Hillary Clinton paid for it.
We had to sue to keep election...
Hang on a second. Hillary Clinton paid for the Russian lies.
So be very careful about putting out $10 million because that's not factually correct.
No, Hillary Clinton's campaign paid for the Russian lies.
Donna Brazile was the chair of the Democratic Party. I was not the quote-unquote campaign.
But you told me to send a message to Trump, and I'm saying you can send a message to Hillary, stop hiring Russian liars to influence our elections.
And stop meeting with Russian officials through Facebook and Google to undermine our democracy and discredit the candidate, Hillary Clinton.
Man.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff we need to clean up, Sean. We shouldn't just throw stones. We got to clean this up. We got to make sure that the North Koreans and
I agree.
Others don't
is there one? Is there one bit
and
of
use it against us next year, Sean? That's what my book.
Give me the evidence.
All
right, hold on. We got to take a break. More with Donna Brazile. Her new book, Hacks: The Inside Story of the Break-ins, Breakdowns That Put Donald Trump in the White House. All right, as we continue with Donna Brazile, author of the book Hacks, the inside story of the break-ins, breakdowns that put Donald Trump in the White House. Give me any evidence you have of any law that was broken as it relates to the Trump campaign and Russian collusion.
Well, let me just say this. If it was up
evidence.
To me, I would have sued the Trump campaign, Putin, and everybody else for the kind of hacking, what they did to steal emails, what they did to weaponize them, discredit our candidate, and try to break into our election systems. Someone needs to go to jail for that, Sean, and we need a lawsuit. Look, Sean, you and I both love our country. We love our democracy. That's why I went to Mr. Priebus last year and say, help us. Let us all do this together, because next year it could be the Republicans who are coming under attack. And you know what I would say to the Republicans?
But you're saying these things, and I'm asking you a very specific question. We've had a year's worth of investigation into Trump-Russia collusion about laws that are broken. Can you cite any example that proves any law was broken by anybody?
The hacking of people's personal information is against the law.
Okay, I am the only one in America. You're talking to the only person. Donna.
Corrupted and stolen.
Donna,
that is
Donna.
Violation of state law. Federal laws were also
Donna,
broken.
You're not listening.
When you think about the rubles, I mean, you're not supposed to allow foreign money to get into our election.
Tell Hillary Clinton that. That goes all the way back to the Chinese and selling out the Lincoln bedroom. But here's my most important question. You've never interviewed Julian Assange. I have. I've interviewed Julian Assange, and I've talked to other sources. Julian Assange is the one guy in America, whether you like him or hate him, it doesn't matter. Julian Assange has been consistent and clear. And for the record, WikiLeaks has never been wrong in 11 years of all the information they have published. And Julian Assange was crystal clear to me. It was not the Russians. You say it is the Russians. So I go back. Let me finish my question, Donna. Come on. So you say it is the Russians. The guy that knows says it's not. And it was no state party and it wasn't Russia. So I ask you again, what specific evidence, because you say specifically in the book it was the Russians and the Russians hacked. He says they didn't. He's the one that put these emails out. And I'm asking you what evidence that you have that, in fact, it was Russia or that it was any Trump-Russia collusion. Because if you have evidence, I'm sure Robert Mueller would like to talk to you.
Well, first of all, Robert Mueller has not called me, but if he called me, I would tell him the same thing I would say to your listeners. There was a lot of collusion. There was a lot
evidence.
Of activity.
You're throwing around smoke. That's smoke.
Between,
where's the evidence?
Between attempts to discredit.
Where's the beef? Give me the
media platform.
Just because you're saying it doesn't make it true.
Weaponize people's personal information that they hacked and stolen.
Okay, give me the I'm going to go back to my question. Give me the evidence that Russia did this.
Evidence was
where?
Clear
where?
That these were active Russian
where?
Who said? Agents and bots and trolls, APT 28, 29, Cozy Bear, Fancy Bear. These were all to
Panda
the
Bear.
Government to discredit and sow discord within our democracy.
Okay, but you still, and this is the problem, and I've explained this to
problem,
my audience.
John,
we don't know, it's
was,
a problem. No, hang
we
on, I'm going to make my statement, I'll let you make yours. Here's the problem. We've now had even Dianne Feinstein 2 weeks ago said there's no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion 2 weeks ago. And I know that Hillary said that was a lie when she said 17 government agents. It wasn't true. What we do know is the one guy that would know says it is absolutely positively. He has said it to me numerous times on radio and on TV that it wasn't Russia. Now, we do know that one side, and that would be Hillary's side, and I'm taking you out of this, that she bought and paid for what we now know to be Russian lies, misinformation and disinformation for the very purpose of influencing an election. You're upset about Russia's influence in any election at all. Donald Trump never paid anybody in Russia, ever paid anybody to get Russian information. And therefore, when I asked for evidence and you can't provide it, the very thing that Democrats seem to be saying Republicans did, the Democrats did.
Said on July 27, Rush, if you're listening to me, clearly they had a back channel through his son. Why don't you wait for all of the evidence to come out, Sean, and then you can conclude.
I've been waiting a year.
In 2016.
I've been waiting a year.
There.
Show it to me.
Hacked, and I wasn't hacked by Casper the Friendly Ghost. So, look, if we're finished talking about my book, Hacks, can we talk about what's on your menu for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we can talk about that in a second. Let me play for you all of these people, up to and including last two Sundays ago, Dianne Feinstein, that say there's smoke, there's smoke, there's smoke, there's smoke. We've been hearing it for a year. Plenty of smoke, no fire, as it relates to the topic we're talking about.
But Mr. Clapper then went on to say that, to his knowledge, there was no evidence of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. We did not conclude any evidence in our report. And when I say our report, that is the NSA, FBI, and CIA, with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything, any reflection of collusion between the members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that in our report. Was Mr. Clapper wrong when he said that?
I think he's right about characterizing the report, which you all have read.
We did not include any evidence in our report, and I say our, that's NSA, FBI, and CIA, with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything, that had any reflection of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that included in our report.
Have you seen anything, either intelligence briefings, through intelligence briefings, anything to back up any of the accusations that
you've
made?
They have the documentation that they did the hacking.
The hacking.
On the DNC.
Right.
And on some of us, you know, that have.
But the collusion, though.
No, we have not.
Do you have evidence that there was, in fact, collusion between Trump associates and Russia during the campaign?
Not at this time.
Have you seen anything that suggests any collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign?
Well, there's an awful lot of smoke there, let's put it that way. People that might have said they were involved, to what extent they were involved, to what extent the president might have known about these people or whatever. There's nothing there from that standpoint that we have seen directly linking our president to any of that.
Did evidence exist of collusion, coordination, conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russian state actors at the time you learned of 2016 efforts?
I don't know whether or not such collusion, that's your term, such collusion existed. I don't know.
Feinstein, Clapper, Comey, Brennan, Manchin, and I can go on for another hour.
And I can go on for two. If the Trump campaign isn't guilty, why do they keep lying about their communications regarding Russia?
Oh, nobody lied about it.
An official who hasn't been caught lying about his or her communications or dealing with Russia during the campaign, including Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Foreign Policy Advisors Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, Donald Trump Jr., and Michael Flynn. Look, we need to get to the bottom of it, Sean. And when the investigations are over, I would hope that you would bring me back on this show. Because once they conclude their investigation, I would love to hear the conclusion, and then you and I can have another conversation.
Okay, but my only argument back to you is we do have evidence that there was collusion with Russia. And that is the hiring of Fusion GPS, the hiring of Christopher Steele, and Russian lies that he paid for that was used by the Clinton campaign to basically influence the American people, lie to them, propagandize them in the lead up to the election. So we do know there was collusion. That's collusion. Is that collusion? Is that collusion? You got to answer that. Is that collusion?
Sean, you know, you're asking me to disprove a negative that I had not involved in. Opposition research.
Just because you're not involved in it doesn't mean you don't read a newspaper.
There's nothing unethical or illegal about opposition research.
Oh, so it's okay if
Donald Trump had business.
So if Donald Trump, if Donald Trump hired somebody to get phony information from Russia on Hillary Clinton, you're talking about Donald Trump saying publicly, oh, would you, if you have the emails, the 33,000 that she acid washed and bleach bit, and if you have them, release them, that would be the truth. But Hillary paid for lies, salacious lies.
Sean,
that's okay, though.
Jared Kushner didn't turn over Russia-related communications to the Senate Judiciary Committee, include emails about a backdoor Russian overture, as well as emails with Sergey Milyen. So
if that's the case,
so
he'd be in jail. There's
so
not so
much out
it's
there.
Been a
we
year, and the only evidence we have is that is Hillary's campaign paid for Russian lies. I don't understand why you're not upset about that.
The Republicans who... There was a big Republican donor who got this dossier started. And this opposition research, rather than gone into the trash can, it kept a new life. It was recycled. And, yes, Fusion GPS.
All right, let me ask this question.
Perkins Coie to conduct it. I don't know anything else about
that. Let me move on. We're talking too much.
Dossier.
All right, quick break. More with Donald Brazil on the other side of this. And your calls coming up. How do you deal with your crazy, let's see, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Occupy Wall Street, Antifa relatives at the Thanksgiving Day table? All right, as we continue with Donna Brazil, author of the book Hacks, the inside story of the break-ins, breakdowns that put Donald Trump in the White House. All right, your candidate, Hillary Clinton, was asked to, had all her emails subpoenaed. Remember, she went to the mom-and-pop shop bathroom closet, and she had her emails in you know, that was stored there, which was, I think, mishandling and a crime in and of itself. But putting that aside, when they were subpoenaed by Congress, she decided on her own to delete 33,000 of them. And then she used acid wash and bleach bit to clean up the servers. And after that, she had employees break a numerous number of devices, BlackBerries with hammers and iPhones with hammers, etc. Do you think that is unethical and obstruction? And shouldn't somebody, if Donna Brazil is asked to hand over, if your emails are subpoenaed, would you delete them? Would you acid wash them? Would you bleach pit them? Would you break your devices?
Smear campaign, Sean. Sean, I came on this
it's
show
a fact.
To talk about my book. You want to relitigate Hillary Clinton emails. Hillary Clinton has been as open about her emails as any American. We know more about Hillary Clinton life from the release of her emails. She said it was a mistake to use a private server. She has apologized about that. And if you want to relitigate her emails, I would suggest that you contact her office.
Hey, Donna, you've been in Democratic politics for 33 years,
oh, man,
as you said.
Longer than that, since the age of nine. And
I'm just asking, because this is in many ways your book, you know, Hacks, the inside story of what you think the campaign was about. So I think it's perfectly legitimate.
The breakdown that led to the election of Donald Trump. That is the title. It's
is there anything
now.
About Donald Trump you like?
Gift.
Is there anything you like about Donald Trump?
As I said in the book, I said, you know, I give him credit for cracking the blue wall.
Yeah.
I mean, he ran an anti-establishment campaign. Sean, I pray for my president. You know why I pray for him? Whether it's Barack Obama, Donald Trump, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George Herbert Walker Bush, Ronald Reagan, let's go all the way back to John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson. And I pray for them because I'm an American. I want my president to succeed, irregardless of his party affiliation. I just wish today I could say Madam President instead of Mr. Trump.
Let me ask you, but do you think that his policies, do you like his policies on anything?
I think the president has to pivot. I think he needs to start talking about infrastructure. He needs to go back to the jobs that he talked about creating. And he needs to do more to bring about healing and the end of the kind of vindictiveness. When I say I pray for my president, I mean that. I don't just say, oh, Mr. Trump, I go to God, as most Christians do. I can't speak for other religions. I can only speak for myself. And I ask the Lord to watch over him because I want the Lord to watch over my great country.
Well, that's the Donna that I've always liked. We'll leave it on a high note. The book is interesting. I will say that. I didn't put it down. It's called Hacks, the inside story of the break-ins, breakdowns that put Donald Trump in the White House. Well, I'm never going to agree with you on a whole lot, but I appreciate you coming by. And you should have done my show first, and you would have been number one on the New York Times list, but I'll forgive you for that.
Sean,
I'm a Christian like you are. I'm trying to be. I believe
You know what? We do go back. We do combat, but we always shake hands at the end of our wrestling match. I want to say this to your listeners.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful time of the year. This is when we give thanks for many of our blessings.
Amen.
And I just want to give thanks to all of you. You're my American citizens. I love you. God bless you all. Happy Thanksgiving.
Why are you making us like you so much now after we just had a contentious interview? Why do we now turn around and say, I actually like Donna Brazile? I don't, you know, I said that once on the air and people are like, she fed her Hillary questions. I'm like, yeah, I know, but...
Sean, our God is awesome.
Our God is an awesome God. That's a great song, too.
And even those people on the Clinton campaign that came on Fox and went on other shows,
yeah.
I love them. I love them because I love my country.
So
and
do
we
I.
We can do this. Look, in our country,
let's
we
make
can
America
this,
great again.
We can do this. We can argue, but still like each other. And Sean, by the way,
yeah.
My gumbo is the very best in the world. I know when you taste my gumbo, you would want another bowl. So, my love to your family,
yours
to
too.
Your
all
wife,
right, Donna.
Your children. Happy Thanksgiving
God
to you as well.
God bless you. You're in my prayers as well. God bless you always.
Thank
and
you,
we
sir.
Are very blessed beyond measure. Amen. All right, quick break. Right back. How do you deal with your crazy left-wing relatives? That is coming up next. News Roundup Information Overload Hour. Good friend Ami Horowitz, writer, producer, director, documentarian. And what are we asking people this time?
This was a social experiment where I had my... remember the time I had the U.S. flag, or the ISIS flag, Israeli flag video? So this one was
right.
A twist on that because, you know, we've had all of these, our national anthem, for example, be disrespected to the NFL. I want to see what, if people had any fidelity to other national symbols. So I went around Berkeley with my U.S. flag to see what people's reaction would be.
Okay, so what was their reaction? We got it all on tape.
We do.
What were the specific questions you were asking?
No questions. I was just simply walking
That's
around
it.
The flag saying, I love America. America's the greatest. God
That's
bless
it.
America. That's it.
Let's hit it.
I'm Ami Horowitz. Sadly, there's been a lot of controversy around some of our American symbols, like the national anthem. So I went to UC Berkeley to see what the student reaction would be to another national symbol, the American flag. I love America. This country stands for freedom. Yeah! The little piece of freedom in my hand. Who protects freedom? This guy! I am pumped! Greatest country on planet Earth that protects all freedoms, right? No? Greatest country in the world, right?
No, the opposite.
The opposite?
Complete opposite.
No? Why not?
Yeah, Canada's pretty great.
You know what I'm talking about.
One imperial power right now in the world.
It signifies military rule.
God is not proud of us.
America.
America. Wow. Why would you say that?
I see you walking this... with the little Star of David.
Flick me off?
Consider
successful.
Because she said my flag sucked, I wanted to see what the reaction would be with, well, another flag that's out there in the news. I stand against America. ISIS protects Islam. I denounce the United States. The black flag of ISIS will stand over the White House. I denounce Western imperialism. I denounce American imperialism.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
Thank you.
I love that you're saying that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. ISIS is love. We don't have hate in our hearts. Unless you stand against us. Then we kill. The attack in New York was a blow. After spending several hours waving my ISIS flag, shouting pro-ISIS, anti-American rhetoric, a sum total of one person was upset by it.
How many people passed you?
1,000? 500? I don't know.
Did most people 000? Just ignore you or?
Most people ignored me.
All right, and then you hear these, keep up the good work, man.
Couple people supported me. I mean, it's beyond sick.
There's part of me thinking, you know, people don't even know who the name of the vice president is. So they
know who ISIS is. And it wasn't the flag. I was saying, come fight for ISIS. ISIS attacked New York. ISIS. Every third word was ISIS.
Every third word was ISIS. It's so sad. I mean, people are so dumb sometimes. But the school system has created this whole thing.
There's no question about it. This is garbage in, garbage out, right? That's what we hear. Professors are preaching that the world's problems are because of the United States of America. It's a double-edged sword. They screw America, F America, and then the ISIS flag, nothing.
I think it's a gutsy thing that you do, but it's also, to me, it's sad. I mean, you watching all the things that are going on in the NFL, and you saw, for example, what's his name, Lynch,
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, this weekend, and he doesn't stand for the national anthem. He stands for the Mexican flag and that anthem. What was that?
And you can't, I'm sorry, I do not buy the argument that by taking a knee,
during our national anthem is not a screw you, America. I'm sorry, you can't make that argument to me. It absolutely is. If you're going to, then pick some other moment or some other thing. But if you're going to do it to our national song, you're saying something about the hatred you have toward this country.
There's a lack of understanding. It runs so deep throughout this whole thing. And this is what the NFL isn't getting. This is what these millionaire players aren't getting, is that look at the empty seats that we saw just this weekend alone. I mean, many people just staying home. They'd rather, if they're going to watch, they'll watch it on TV. But I think ratings are even proving the interest is lower than it's ever been. People don't care. Most people that I know have just said, forget it. They've had it. They don't want it. They're going to ruin the NFL. I mean, I could see another sport replacing it at some point if they keep this up.
Oh, there's a ton of sports up and coming. But they have this.
A friend of mine yesterday was trying to make the case that it's going to be rugby. Rugby's a good.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah, listen, the NFL can turn it around. There's no question about it.
100%. And I noticed that they are trying to at least create images. I noticed that, you know, Terry Bradshaw and his team on Fox, you know, they had battleships behind them. And I noticed that they went out of their way. They don't show the players kneeling now on TV.
Right.
But they showed Tom Brady on Veterans Day shaking the hands of, you know, obviously Tom Brady is probably the biggest NFL star today. But they saw him shaking hands with some vets that day, which I thought was the right thing to do, and that's how I always perceived the NFL.
Oh, look how Jerry Jones handled it. I think he handled it exactly that the way he's supposed to handle it. Nobody's going to take a knee on my team. End of story. End of story. You work for me.
Why is there so much hostility with Jerry Jones now? And I guess there's a back and forth going between him, the NFL, and Robert Kraft of the Patriots. What's going on?
Well, it's a lot of inside football, as they say. But I think at the end of the day, he's looking at you know, the guy who runs the league, and they just cannot agree on anything.
I mean, he wants Roger Goodell, I read, wants a contract of what, $50 million a year and a private jet
for life.
If it lives to 100, that's 50 years.
Who does he think he is, Sean Hannity?
All right.
Come on.
You're such a wise ass. But the reality, no one gets a jet for life. If you want one, buy your own. If they're paying you $50 million, you can go out and buy your own.
I think Jerry Jones' major beef is that it seems like Goodell thinks he runs the. Jerry Jones saying this is a collective. Who owns this league?
They,
it's the owners, not you. You're a manager for us.
But wait a minute. Why is the NFL that has all types of restrictions on freedom of speech? You can't, you know, after a touchdown, you can't taunt other players. You can't curse at a ref on the field. You can't, you know, you can't even fake bow and arrow a shot into the crowd because
the no fun league.
You can't do specific dances and moves. Or twerking in the end zone.
No gyrations. Yeah, but okay. First of all, it's not you're not being fair. It's the word because every workplace has those kind of rules. You can't walk into an office building in a bikini.
But they could obviously have just said from the beginning, no taking a knee for the anthem.
Yes, no. Oh, that's what you're getting at. It's why?
Yeah.
Of course they could.
Because there's all sorts of free
speech. Technically in the bylaws it does say you have
that's
to stand
right.
for the national.
That's correct.
National
and put your helmet in your left hand, stand at attention, be out there at the start of the anthem. And don't move and shut up.
All they had to do was enforce the rules. But the problem is, Sean, is that they're held hostage. The last thing in the world they ever want to be accused of is racism. They're so scared of it.
So you're saying because the number of black Americans that are in the league, they're afraid that if they say that, then they're going to be viewed as racist.
That's correct.
That's what they're thinking.
Look, if Donald Trump says anything negative, listen, Donald Trump loves to say negative things about a lot of people, white, black, women.
Well, I mean,
if he says something negative about a black person, all of a sudden it becomes a race issue.
Did you see what happened? Do you have the audio of this father? I mean, you had these three kids.
LeVar Ball.
Yeah, LeVar Ball. His son plays for UCLA. While Trump was over in China, these kids get arrested for stealing, you know, some designer sunglasses or whatever.
Three different stores, by the way.
Okay. They got caught. And in China, you know, it's like the old commercials in the U.S. You get busted over there, you're in for the hassle of your life. They could spend years in jail. Trump goes directly to the Chinese president and says, hey, can you let these guys out? He lets them out. And I've confirmed that story with multiple sources of the White House. Immediately, the president of China did what the president wanted, which I thought was a gracious act on his part. And then when the kids get back, they thank the president, and then here's the father.
All right, Mr. Ball, let's take one step back, because you seem to have doubts about what the president did. You said you were talking to people.
I have no doubts about what he did. I got doubts of what he didn't do. How's that?
You have doubts not about
what
he did, but what he didn't
do. Hey, I'm going to tell you this. If I'm coming to get you,
Yes.
If I'm coming to get you, let's say I'm coming to get you out of trouble. If I'm coming to get you out of trouble, you best believe I'm going to take you with me. So if I come over here and say, excuse me, sir, whoever, can you do something for this kid or this person and allow me to take them with me? That's if I'm doing something for somebody.
All right, so
I'm not going to come over there.
Let's just
say,
get right to it.
So, let's be a little lenient on it, but I'm out of here.
All right, is what you're saying that because the president of the United States didn't bring the boys home with him, he therefore didn't do enough? Or do you think
anything? I didn't say nothing about him. I didn't say nothing about him.
I know, but you're kind of like talking about him without saying his name. I'm just trying to clear up the confusion.
I mean, I'm coming back home, and I'm just saying anything. It ain't no confusion.
There's a lot of confusion.
It's just somebody asked me a question, and I gave us a lot of confusion to you.
It's a lot of confusion to me. It is. That's why I needed you on. Do you think the president helped?
Why is it confusing?
Because I don't understand what you're saying. I am concerned. Did you think that the president helped the boys get out?
That's because you have to listen very slowly, carefully.
I'm trying.
Did he help the boys get out? I don't know.
Why do you doubt it?
I don't know. If I was going to thank somebody, I'd probably thank President Xi.
President Xi.
I'll thank him. He's in China. The president in China.
True. And the president of the United States said that you should
Somebody can make a suggestion. Somebody can make a suggestion and somebody could do something. You got people that make suggestions. You got people that do things.
I just don't understand
just
your skepticism about it.
A lot of people be like, hey, why don't you be a little lenient? What is the skepticism about? Why are we even talking about this with all these political matters going on in the world?
I listen to that and I'm thinking, if it was my kid and the president intervened and got him out of a very difficult position where he might have been facing jail time. Here's my words to the president. Sir, thank you very much. And I promise you, I'll deal with this at home.
Of course. But not only did he not deal with it at home, he publicly excused the behavior of his son. He downplayed what his son did. This wasn't on the clip you showed, but before that, no. He downplayed what his son did. But again, the point of I want to make on this whole LeVar Ball issue is that when the president criticized LeVar Ball, just because he's black, everybody on CNN, MSNBC was saying, this is racist. This is racist. Just because he's criticizing a black person, the man is an equal opportunity insulter. Right? White, black, 100%. Women, doesn't make a difference.
Listen, what these kids did was stupid.
Of course.
That's it. The president intervening was the right thing for the president to do. All the father needed to say was thank you.
And that's it, Lou. Move on.
Move on.
Move on.
And it was all over. And they didn't get in trouble. And they could have spent time in jail. So at the bottom of this half hour, we're going to take calls from people that have to deal with crazy relatives over Thanksgiving. Oh, you can identify with this?
Oh, I can definitely identify with that.
Really? What happens in your house?
Well, okay, first of all, I love my
house. No, I don't
want to be very clear.
Hang on. No, I'm going to hold it over.
Okay.
But
it was a tease.
Is it
they
that
call
bad?
That a business, a tease.
Is it that bad?
I will let you know after the break.
How bad is it on a scale of 1 to 10?
It was a high 9s.
Ooh, I love that. That might transcend turkey wings and stuffing and sweet potato pie. All right. Anyway, we'll continue with Ami Horowitz. At the bottom of this half hour, we'll take your calls. As we continue, Ami Horowitz is with us at the bottom of this half hour. Dr. Hannity's back. What do you do if you have your Obama, Hillary-loving, Trump-hating relatives this Thursday at Thanksgiving? I'll offer some insight and advice. So what's going on at your house? You said it's really bad at Thanksgiving. What happened?
So, okay, again, I want to make sure I set this up by saying I love my family very, very much. Left wing, right wing.
By the way, that is such BS. You're just saying that.
All right, so I have a number of stories, but I'll tell you the Thanksgiving story. So there's one Thanksgiving a couple years back where my wife and kids, for some reason, had to go somewhere, and I couldn't, for business reasons, I ended up being in New York by myself on Thanksgiving. So I went to my cousin's in-laws. Okay. So we go to their house. And
by the way, when you stay, there was your first mistake. If you get a day free alone and you can just sit there, order pizza and stuff your face.
It's
and
Thanksgiving.
Drink
you need Coors. Family, you know, that was well, so I thought.
I would have. So I thought.
So
all
I
right,
thought.
Go ahead.
Okay, so first problem is they're vegetarian, right? So right off the bat, that's just gastronomically, that's a no-go for me. Did not know that going in.
What is vegetarian turkey?
It's like a tofu type of thing.
I'm sure it's delicious.
Yeah, I just stuck with the stuff. I used a lot of stuffing. Anyway, so we're sitting down there, and they're having my cousin's in-laws are very, very leftist. They're
right.
New York leftists, and they have a lot of their leftist friends come over. And before we even got to dinner, we're just kind of sitting around having a discussion. And
how long ago was this? How many years?
4 years ago.
Okay.
This is pre-Trump.
Right.
So they didn't even know that Trump was even part of the discussion. That, I know that's a normal, a natural way you can get a lot of friction in the family. That wasn't even on the table. So we started talking about American foreign policy, and they're going on and on about how horrible America is. And I decided to defend what we did in Vietnam. just to piss him off, to be fair.
All right, so that's my advice. You got to go in. If you have a great Make America Great Again hat and you know you have liberal relatives that hate the president, wear the hat. Wear the T-shirt.
See, but I'm
by the way,
but you and I are sick in that way. I think most people listening, and definitely the people the other side of this window here, I don't think they're quite as aggressive as you or I.
That's not aggressive. I'm just not going to take your crap because I know it. Listen, there have been many times, not many, but a number of times I've been out with my family, right? And somebody, they'll know, oh, that's Hannity from Fox. That's Hannity on the radio. And they just start in. And I'll just watch and watch. And then there's going to come a point I'm going to start firing back.
Well, how long do you wait?
Not long.
Right, exactly.
Not long.
Come on, it's 20 seconds.
It's actually my daughter sees it coming, and she, this is what she does. She like act like she breathe in and out. And I'm like, no. Or if it's my daughter, she'll be kicking me. Don't do it, Dad. Don't do it, Dad. And boom. You mean, and I'll say, for example, but you got to have one-liners. It'll be like something like, oh, isn't it great? America's becoming great again. You know, just whatever you say, it doesn't matter if they agree or disagree. You know, Obama lost, put 13 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more in poverty. Aren't you glad Trump reversed that? Just
say,
I'm
for the travel ban. Just do that.
That'll do it. Oh, I'm for building the wall.
That's right.
Yeah, and letting Mexico pay for it.
That's all you need.
All right, Ami Horowitz, good luck to you. And, of course, finish your story.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so we're sitting around defending Vietnam, and the friends stand up. They start yelling at me, screaming at me. They're red faced. Who are you? You're sick. You're a sick person. And my cousin-in-law tried to calm them down, which was nice. But then moved over to dinner. Within 30 seconds, the table, including my cousin-in-law, called me racist, disgusting, and told me to get out of their house. They threw you out of the house on Thanksgiving.
What did you say that was racist?
Any dessert? I think I was talking about at the time the voter ID laws. I was for voter ID laws. That is automatically makes you a racist.
By the way, if you go to the DNC convention, you need a ID, picture ID.
Of course.
Ami Horowitz, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. 800-941 Sean is our number.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of love news.
In Midtown Manhattan, the doctor is in. That's right, Dr. Hannity's ready to help you with your relationships, your politics, anything you want to talk about. 1-800-941-7326. Dr. Sean Hannity is open for business right now.
All right, so here it is. It's my final hour here. Well, I'm on TV tonight, so it's my final radio hour today before we go on our annual Thanksgiving Day break, only a couple of days. And it's that time of year. We have so much to be thankful for. Can't forget that, not the least of which is the greatest audience in the history of radio and how wonderful all of you are. We live in the greatest country God gave man. If we have our health, well, we have a lot to be thankful for. You have our families, they're healthy. We have a lot to be thankful for. You know, it's not the material things that I think make the top. Oh, I am thankful that I got a Mercedes last year, or I am thankful that I got this car. You should be thankful for your house and your car and the food you put in your stomach. And there's a lot to be thankful for. A lot of evil in this world. For the vast majority of us, I mean, we get to pursue our dreams. We get to work hard. We get to, you know, think of the conveniences that didn't exist for past generations. We take cell phones and computers all for granted. We take our homes for granted. You know, what if you had to build your own home? Everybody had to build their own. You provide goods and services that people want, need, and desire. And people, you pay them for goods and services that you want, need, and desire. It's a perfect system. The harder you work, the better you're going to do. Anyway, with that said, we're more divided than we've ever been before. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And that's been unfolding way before this election and, frankly, way before this past year and way before the last election year. And we've had 8 divisive years before that. And the Bush years were pretty divisive as well. So you're going to find yourself in a situation, maybe Thursday, some of you, where there's crazy Auntie M. And crazy Auntie M is a big socialist. And crazy Auntie M isn't going to like the fact that you're wearing your Make America Great Again hat or T-shirt.
This is going to be a joke. I cannot believe this is happening. I'm literally about to f***ing kill myself, and I'm not kidding. You better f***ing fix this right now.
And then there's going to be
I need an ambulance.
Crazy Uncle Joe is going to show up, and Crazy Uncle Joe, he's going to have a problem as well. How do you deal with your crazy left-wing relatives that are upset, like they like fake news CNN? Maybe it's one of the 100 people in the country or one of the 200 that like MSNBC. How do you deal with them when the topic gets to politics? Anyway, that's what I'm here for. I'm going to offer advice. How do you deal with your crazy left-wing Occupy Wall Street, Antifa, Hillary Bernie loving relatives that hate your views, hate Donald Trump? It's that simple. Robin is in Oklahoma. How are you, Robin?
I'm fine, Mr. Hannity. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. Who are you going to meet this year that's going to drive you nuts?
Well, I do have my daughter and my son-in-law that's going to be coming over.
Yeah.
She's more of a socialist, and he's kind of flip-floppy, so I worry about him a little bit. And last year got really, really weird here at my house during Thanksgiving to the point where it completely stressed me out. I did not have fun. Yeah. And my question to you is, when my family comes over, should I tell them straight to their face, hey, look, no talking politics. This is the one day that I don't want to talk about it at all. Or should I post a note on my front door saying the exact same thing and seeing if that works?
Look, here's the thing. I like to have fun with them. That's what I like to do. The first thing I would do if I was you, if you have any Trump gear, like a Make America Great Again t-shirt, or if you have a Make America Great Again hat, and you know it's going to make your liberal relatives bubble and fizz like Alka-Seltzer in water, and they're going to flip out, there's nothing more fun than, like, poking at them. And the way you poke at, you know, how can you stand this, man? Oh, just go, I love, don't you think his Twitter is the funniest thing you've ever seen? Don't you love
the? Yeah.
And then you go, don't you think it's great that, you know, we have the best economy that we've had in 17 years? Don't you think it's great that 1 million jobs have been created since he's been president? Just have a few simple little facts that you know are going to freak them out. By the way, what do you think of the news that Hillary stole the primary from Bernie? Oh, and what do you think? Have you heard about Uranium One and the dossier that Clinton paid for? You know, I'm sure that's very troublesome. Do you feel like you were lied to? Always go on offense. And then she said, Donald Trump hates women. And I said, no.
Can I jump in? I'm just wondering what's happening, because I thought this was a holiday of giving thanks, and you seem to be wanting to give advice on
how to
battle.
I'm giving advice how to deal with your
this
crazy.
This isn't Gladiator or Braveheart.
Excuse me.
On Thursday.
Listen, people are going to walk into the lion's den this weekend. Robin,
you know, you get more honey with kindness. What is it?
Oh, really? So you want to go in, and
what's the expression?
You get more bees with honey than you do.
Yeah, do that. Do that, people.
All right, don't listen to Linda.
Don't listen to Sean.
Because she doesn't have one liberal in her family.
First of all, I have several liberals in my family.
Okay, and then the first thing they're going to say is, yo, you still work for that idiot Sean Hannity.
Exactly.
And then what are you going to say? He's the best boss in the whole wide world.
I'm going to say, those sweet potatoes are here courtesy of the Sean Hannity job
that
I have.
Well, that's the difference between me and you. I'm going to go right at my liberal relatives. If they open their big fat mouths and they want to fight, I'm going to fight.
You're going to throw the sweet potatoes as opposed to serving
Maybe
them.
It would be more fun than the typical.
That's
Thanksgiving
a messy,
dinner.
Messy
then
dinner.
I don't have to eat them and get fat again. Anyway,
oh God.
Does that help, Robin, at all?
That helps immensely. Thank you so much for answering that for me.
Robin, you're such a good liar.
Oh, man.
I just can't wait for the Friday morning headline. Sean Hannity, police call to Sean Hannity's house over a food fight.
Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Remember that song by Alabama? All right, Kate in Austin, Texas. What's up, Kate? How are you? Glad you called.
Well, I have to crack up because I'm going to agree with Miss Linda, my best friend here, because I have to, because I love you and I love your advice. I think that was really well-meaning. But so here's my situation. We're going to put ourselves in the Wayback Time Machine to last year, to the fresh moment of like one of the most amazing elections of our modern time. I mean, I love when you play that role of all of the things that happened that night. It gives me chills. It makes me so excited every night. So we're on a high. My husband and I are going into what you just termed the lion's den. And we had to put on our gladiator gear just to protect ourselves because I have nieces and brothers. They all live in Chicago and they live in Seattle and all the crazy places where there's most of my nieces are millennials. They were in physical pain, like posting on Facebook. I don't want to mock them. I'm not trying to mock them because I love them. I adore my nieces. But they were like, we're in physical pain. So that little girl that you play all the time that feels like she's going to fall apart, that was my nieces. So we go into the holidays get together and everybody's kind of not talking to Greg or to me because they know that we are conservatives, that we support Trump, that we love him, that we think that he actually can make America great again. But it's so personal.
Well, listen, I mean, you can have superfluous and surface level friendships where, all right, well, we're going to talk about the weather and, oh, isn't the sun shining nice today? Oh, look at the little bird that's going in the oven. Isn't it so cute? Oh, look at the baby's outfit. And you can talk about nonsense all day. But at some point, some serious stuff is likely to come up at that table. Kneeling during NFL games may be one of the issues. And another one might be Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. So I'm just trying to help prepare you for a worst case scenario.
Well, it did come up. All of that did come up, and it was crazy, and I was trying to be sweet aunt and say, we're all going to be okay. It's all going to be fine. I was trying to do what Linda had just said. I was trying to get more V's with my honey than the vinegar.
I love you, Kate. You're a woman after my own heart.
I know. We're besties. I love you. So I'm just saying, what kind of hope, let's take it to the other end. What kind of hope can Uncle Sean give to my nieces, these sweet little millennials who are lost and sad and broken in his
How
studio?
Old are they?
They are like 21 to 28.
Yeah. This is what I would do. Bring them crayons, coloring books, cocoa. And bring them and give them a gift to get an aromatherapy session, whatever that is. I don't even know. And say, oh, here, hopefully this will get over your little crybaby, whiny little attitude and get your ass up like the rest of us and go to work for the next 40 years and work hard and play by the rules. And you'll be successful and be the master of your own destiny. There you go. Isn't that nice?
That would be awesome. Yeah, I think that'll work. That'll be good stuff.
Yeah, get them the cup of cocoa. All right, Kate, thank you. Denise is in Orlando, Florida. What's going on, Denise, on WDBO? What's happening?
Hi, Mr. Hannity. I am one of the people who has been ostracized by my family because of my political beliefs. And I am an African-American female. I've got very, very liberal people in my family. And it's been a little stressful over the last 2 years with Trump announcing he was going to run. But when he became a candidate and I was behind him 100%, oh, it was just absolutely crazy. So I'm actually not spending Thanksgiving with family. I'm spending it with friends.
Okay. And your friends, you've been ostracized by some or by all?
By pretty much my whole family.
All right. So your whole family. So, I mean, it's so bad you're not even going to your family. You'd rather stay with your friends.
I'd rather stay with friends. Absolutely.
Let me tell you how life is. You know, this is just the truth. At some point, if your friendship has to transcend politics, at some point, and I know a lot of friendships that have ended over, you know, the whole battle of Hillary and Donald Trump and Obama. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I get that. But, you know, when somebody can't handle what I have to say, you know, I'll give you an example. John Kasich, I remember writing him. I said, you know, hey, can I talk to you? And we had been very good friends. And he writes back, if it's about Trump, no. And I'm like, okay, we'll only talk about golf and I'll only talk about our kids and the weather. And we won't talk about, you know, the working men and women that are in poverty on food stamps and out of the labor force and how I think this plan is good for the country. I actually wrote him that. Never wrote me back after that. Now, we've since talked, but, you know, to me, it's like people have to accept you where you are. And at the end of the day, if people don't want to be around you that bad, then my attitude is, well, good riddance. You're not my friend anyway. And really, you know, there are people that are not my blood family that I consider family. That I love dearly. Mm-hmm. I got my team in here. I love my Hannity radio team. They're like family.
Oh, boss, we love you.
They would have to do a lot to really piss me off and make me fire
them. Well, your irreverence just makes us love you more every day. I'm just glad I'm not eating at your house on Thursday. That's all.
Why? We have the butter
Because
ball.
I don't want to be covered in that stuff.
In what
I
stuff?
I want to eat it.
Covered in what?
Mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, string beans, asparagus, cranberry sauce.
We don't have any defective thinking liberals in my family. None.
Mm-hmm. It's because they're all in fear. They're hiding in the closet.
Yeah, that's probably true. Although I'm beginning to worry a little bit about my niece. She seems to be a little more liberal than lately.
Uh-oh.
But remember, Cassie used to come at me all the time. And Uncle Sean, and she'd just scream at me.
Aren't you just tired of talking? I mean, for me, I'm just tired of talking about politics. I don't want to talk about it on Thanksgiving.
Well, what are you going to do? Watch football players, millionaires?
I don't watch football, period.
Watch millionaires take a knee? I don't feel like watching that either.
I'm not doing that either. I'm just going to have lovely conversation about, you know, other things.
Okay, so you can't talk about real issues then, so your friendships are basically surface friendships.
Aren't they all?
No, I think some are deeper than that.
Her brother just got engaged. I think they'll be talking about more of that type of stuff.
I can't see Sunshine getting in a big fight at the family table the first year she's having Thanksgiving at the McLaughlins.
I'm a peacemaker.
I bring lots of peace.
You're telling everyone to throw food at family
members. I never said to throw food.
And cranberry sauce.
You are lying through your teeth. I didn't say to throw food.
You want
food.
The gladiator Braveheart
you
version
only,
of Thanksgiving.
You only,
we understand.
You only throw food if, in fact, they throw it first. You got to defend yourself. I believe in self-defense.
It's a counter throw of food.
Yeah, but remember, if somebody hits me, my rule is hit them back 10 times harder. So if they throw one spoonful of potatoes at you, you throw 10 at them. That's the way it works. All right, Denise, I want you to have a blessed Thanksgiving. Be thankful for the people that do love and respect you for who you are. I'm sorry about your family, but your real friends will love you for the person that you really are. I mean, that's what real friendship is. Big time, AJ, Houston, Texas. What's going on, baby?
Big time, Sean Hannity.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you all and everybody at the studio and all that. You know, I ain't backing down because Trump is kicking butt and taking names. And, boy, they just mad because we won.
I agree with you. All right, but I got to go. I want to wish you a very special Thanksgiving to a really important part of the program, our good friend, big time AJ, Houston, Texas. All right, Hannity tonight, the latest on Uranium One. Why is this father, one of the UCLA basketball players, so angry at Trump when Trump saved his son from a lot of trouble in China? Newt Gingrich, Larry Elder, Geraldo Rivera, Monica Crowley, Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, and more. 9 Eastern, Hannity, set your DVR. Yes, we are in tonight, and have a great Thanksgiving weekend. That's it for me for this week on radio. Jonathan Gilliman tomorrow. We'll see you tonight on Hannity on Fox at 9. Have a great weekend. Good luck with your liberal relatives. We'll talk about it when I get back.